church, that brings us to our fourth objective. The objective for today, understanding the church's activity. Understanding the church's activity. So you can subtitle today's message, The Primary Work. The Primary Work. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If we're going to prepare a safe place, we must understand our activity. We must understand our activity. That word activity means that which occupies our time, attention, and labor. Activity is that which occupies our time, our attention, and our labor. It is simply our work. That is what our activity is, our work. Now, the church is rightfully occupied with many things. Church does many wonderful things, but we have a primary work. That is a work that is first in order and importance. The primary work of the church is this. It is to make Jesus clear and visible. Primary work of the church, first in order and importance, is to make Jesus clear and visible, to make him known. Let's think about it this way. We know what our motto is here at From the Heart Church Ministries of Cincinnati. We say that we are the church where Christian living is our ministry. You remember the motto? And we have been learning in Bible study week after week what Christian living is. We define it every week. We said that Christian living is to make Jesus clear and visible. It is to make Jesus known through a consistent, godly lifestyle. So when you look at what we are to do as a church, we could say it this way, that making Jesus clear and visible is our ministry. Making Jesus clear and visible, that is our ministry. Making him known through a consistent, godly lifestyle, that is what we do. It is our primary work. But it is not just the primary work of this local church. It is the primary work, the first work of the church. It is first in order, and it is first in importance. It is the work that must precede all other work that we do as a church. Let's look again at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read one verse of scripture, verse 27. We remember we looked at 1 Corinthians 12 in our second objective, and we looked at it to understand the structure of the church. And as we walk through this scripture, we learn how Paul describes the church as the body of Christ. He describes it as those made up of individual members, all having a place and a function within the church. And we learned in that objective that all of us have an important part to play. That there is nobody in the body of Christ who is unimportant and insignificant. And as he went through and explained it, we got all the way up to verse 27. That's the verse we will read again. He says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Now, ye are the body of Christ. See, before you were something else. But right now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And from this scripture, we came to understand that each of us is important to the success of the church. But Paul's description has further significance. See, God could have said we are just a living organism. But he didn't say you are just a living organism. Said you are the body of Christ. And by calling the church the body of Christ, Paul is expressing the church's primary collective work, that is to manifest Jesus Christ, to make him known, to manifest Jesus, to make him clear and visible. Well, Pastor, how can we know that from this verse of Scripture? Well, we can know it because that's what a body does. A body manifests personality. Is that true? A body manifests personality. See, you are knowable by others because you have a body. I am knowable by others because I have a body. Now, if I lay this body down, praise the Lord that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. If I lay this body down, I'm not dead. But yet you cannot know me any longer. You cannot know my personality without my body. See, that's what a body does. It manifests personality. Consider what Jesus did. He came into the earth, the eternal Son of God, and he came by joining his divinity to a body. Why? So that he can manifest the Father. That's what John 1 taught us, that Jesus declares him. In other words, interprets him, makes him known. So in his body, he made God the Father known. And then he accomplished the work that the Father sent him to do. And after he did that, died and rose again, he ascended back into heaven. And now he sits on the right hand of God the Father. But he is in heaven and we are here. I can't touch him. Can't feel him. Can't see him. The world can't touch him, feel him, or see him. Now, the only way that the world can come to know him is through his body. The only way the world can come to know him is through the church. We are to manifest his personality in all that we do. And only the church can do that. Nobody else can manifest Jesus. Nobody else can make Jesus known except the church. And this is important to understand because the church tends to forget to do the primary work while performing lesser works. We love church works. But in doing our church works, we forget about the primary work. See, if I preach an enjoyable message, but I fail to preach Jesus, I have accomplished nothing of value. If our praise and our worship is energizing and soul-stirring, but it fails to present Jesus, then we have done nothing for the worshiper. It was all just entertainment. If we offer wonderful classes and activities and programs, but we fail to make Jesus clear and visible, we are not doing what God requires of us. If we feed the hungriest of persons through our food pantry, but in serving them, we fail to make Jesus known, we have failed to do what's most important. See, the church can and do many good things, but we are the body of Christ in the earth. And our first work is to do what only we can do, make Jesus known. Make him known to those who do not know him. But church, to our shame, it is the work that we have neglected. And it is an inexcusable failure of the body of Christ. We don't make Jesus known. Well, Pastor, I don't agree with that. I talk about Jesus all the time. We don't make Jesus known. You consider this: a person who does not know Jesus or who is confused about him. Too many people like that can walk into a church, sit in a service, and at the end of the service walk out just the same, still not knowing who Jesus is. Too many people who don't know Jesus or who are confused about him can turn on a TV, turn on a computer, listen to a preacher, and be entertained, and at the end not know who Jesus really is. Too many people who don't know Jesus or who are confused about him can walk up to a Christian, talk to them about Jesus, and at the end still not know who Jesus is. We don't make Jesus known. We reference him. We reference him all the time, but we don't make him known. We reference him, but we don't teach people who he is. And referencing Jesus is not making him known. Mentioning him is not making him known. Because saying, well, you just need to trust in Jesus. Well, my idea of Jesus may be different than yours. What is it that you mean? We don't make Jesus known. So the world has too much to say about Jesus and the church too little. Everywhere you turn, the world has something to say about our Jesus, the one who saved us. We don't have a whole lot to say in return. So error has swallowed up the truth. And the world is full of imaginary Jesuses. People are ignorant as to who he really is. But it's easy to create your own Jesus when you've never been confronted by the real one. See, some people believe in happy Jesus. Happy Jesus. You know, all Jesus cares about is to make me happy. You hear Christians say that all the time. God wants me to be happy. Tell me where you find that in the Gospels. God just wants me to be happy. And if I'm happy, Jesus is happy. But that's not who Jesus is. Some people believe in permissive Jesus. Jesus who takes no issue of sin and perversion and iniquity. I can live a perverse and a twisted life and say that I am a child of God because Jesus, after all, he really doesn't care. I can do what I want. He is still my best friend. That's not Jesus. Some people believe in bigoted Jesus. He only loves me and my kind. He doesn't think about anybody else, takes no interest in anyone other than those who look like me and act like me. So as a Christian, I can be bigoted and I can be prejudiced myself, but that's not Jesus. Some people believe in American Jesus. You know, the Jesus who is all about my American way of life. God, guns, and country. That's what Jesus is all about. He died 2,000 years ago, even though when he died, America did not exist, but that doesn't matter. He died so that I can what? Have my constitutional rights, because that's what's most important. But that's not Jesus. Some of us believe in regular Jesus. He's just a regular guy. He's just a nice guy, spiritually in tune with some higher power. He is someone that I can look at and admire, but I don't need to follow him and I don't need to obey him. All kinds of imaginary Jesuses running around, but none of those are who Jesus really is. We as the church, we know who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is not a nice guy, good teacher. He is God himself. eternal in existence.